Good morning. Today we're going to be on 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 1 through 7. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 1 through 7. And let me open up this message in prayer. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Louise and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Amen. So this morning, I want to kind of just focus our attention on verses 6 and 7, and probably verse 6 more than any others. Now, back some years ago, General William Booth, he was a founder of the Salvation Army. And General William Booth, he sent this message to those who were under him at the time. He told them this in a little note. He says, "The tendency of fire is to go out. Watch the fire on the altar of your heart." So we kind of know what he meant right away. Anyone who has ever made a campfire, or anyone who's ever tended to a wood-burning fireplace, knows this, that the fire, if it's not stirred up, poked, or fanned out, it's going to go out. It's going to die out. So he said, watch the fire that burns on the altar of your heart. Because that too, if it's not tended to, if it's not poked and fanned or stirred, it's going to go out. So he says, watch the fire that resides on the altar of your heart. You see, Paul, he understood this risk as well. He knew what it was like. He knew that Timothy, if you don't guard your heart, if you don't watch the fire, if you don't watch the gift that God has placed in you, it's going to wane out. It's going to decrease. It's going to lessen. It's going to diminish if you don't stir it occasionally, frequently, every single day, Timothy. It's going to go out. See, it's the same thing with us. Our passion for Christ, our passion for the things of God is going to wane. It's going to be smothered out. It's going to decrease if we don't exercise the gift regularly. It's just going to go away. So Paul, he appeals to Timothy and he tells Timothy, kindle that gift daily. Kindle it afresh every single day, Timothy. Can you go to Romans chapter 12, verse 11? Because here Paul, he says the same thing, because he already understands this. This is true of every Christian. He says, never be lacking in zeal. Never. If you're a believer in Christ, here's an admonition, a commandment. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Spiritual fervor, that word fervor, if you look in the Greek rendition, it means boiling, as in hot boiling water. Lacking in zeal. Don't be lacking in zeal, Christian, you believer in Christ. Do not be lacking in zeal. Instead, your spiritual fervor, keep it boiling. Keep it hot. Keep it always red hot and always be in zeal, on fire for God. That is the point there. Because every day, we risk what? Losing fervor for the things of God. Every single day, we can lose that spiritual fervor. So Paul here, he admonishes everyone, every believer. He says, never be lacking in zeal for God. And here's the issue here, that we can lose that fervor. To Timothy, you can lose that gift. It can just wane out, grow cold, be useless if you don't stir it occasionally, Timothy. We need to do that. So the first point to make here is the gift of God, it must be kindled. That is the first point that Paul makes. The gift of God must be kindled. Can you go back, please, to Timothy? Chapter 1, verse 6, please. Now, when we read this passage, we don't know if Timothy's fervor, if his devotion, his dedication had actually waned. Many believe that his fervor hadn't actually waned. Most believe that Paul just wanted Timothy to always be passionate to the highest degree possible to maximize the full use of the gift that God has given him. Many believe that's what Paul really wanted Timothy to do. Not that Timothy's gift had been waning, growing cold. No, but that Paul was just pleading with him, urging him, Timothy, remain absolutely passionate for the cause of Christ. Absolutely passionate, Timothy. Don't let it wane. Maximize the full use of your gift. So he's exhorting Timothy here, pleading with Timothy to reignite his pastoral gift. Timothy, reignite that pastoral gift that God has given you, the one that we gave you by the laying on of the hands, that one, the gift that God entrusted into you, that you would shepherd all those that God had put under your care. That gift, Timothy, continue to be zealous with it and for it. Poke it, stir it, flame it. Do everything you can to just remain passionate, Timothy. That was what Paul wanted Timothy to do. And when Timothy, and when we kindle the gift that God has given us, God will give us the power to accomplish the task. If we kindle it. Here's the point. In us, in every single one of us, in every believer, there is a gift. Every single believer has a gift of God. It's either burning with a low intensity fire or it's loaded with a high intensity fire. It's either low or it's either high. It's one or the other, but it's not going to be both. It's one or the other. Here's the whole point. Do you want, going into 2024, do you want your heart to be like that of the Laodicean? Remember the Laodicean in Revelation? They were lukewarm hearts for God. Is that what we want going into 2024? You know what? I'm okay with a low burning fire. I don't want to overdo it with a high intensity fire, with a high zeal for God. No. I'm okay with just a low burning fire. That works. Really? Because that's what the Laodicean church had. Lukewarm church, low burning fires. They thought they were burning zealously for God, but they weren't. Low burning fire, that's all it was. Now, if that's what you want, because it's easy to have a low burning fire in the altar of your heart. It's easy. What do you have to do? Just spoil the flesh. Just spoil the flesh going into 2024. Pamper the flesh. Cuddle it. Give the flesh whatever it desires. Do that and watch the inner man, watch the inner woman just become to wane away, to grow weak, to grow thin, to grow lazy. Do nothing for that inner fire, but give everything to the flesh, and yes, that inner fire is going to wane away. It's going to decrease in its intensity. All you got to do is just cuddle the flesh. Give the flesh whatever it wants in 2024. Maybe we did that in 2023, and maybe we did that way too much in 2023. We just pampered the flesh, and our zeal for God, it never really burned. We were too busy cuddling the flesh, giving it its all desires, everything it wanted, everything it needed. Because that's all you got to do. That's all you got to do if you want that fire to just decrease, to just be a low burning fire. It's all you got to do. Impoverish the inner man by not stirring up the gift of God. You see, perhaps as we go into 2024, we want to do something differently. We don't want to go into 2024 with a low burning fire. No, we want to go into 2024 having kindled that fire, kindled that gift or gifts. Let's kindle the gifts and move into 2024 with a high intensity fire. You don't want to finish 2023 weakly. You want to finish 2024 strong, burning with high intensity for God, with a high zeal that Paul spoke of. Be zealous for God, absolutely zealous, passionate, red hot, burning, flaming. No, we can't do that every day. No. That's why we depend on the grace of God. We need the grace of God to do that. We absolutely do. Let me show you here real fast. Can you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 to 10? Now here's Paul writing to the Corinthians. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Two things you see in that passage, specifically in passage 10. Two things that you should take note of. The first thing is grace. And the other thing is hard work. Yes, it was God that gave Paul the gift. God gave Paul the grace. And Paul says, that grace that he gave me was not given to me in vain. What is the other thing? Hard labor. God gives the grace. God gives the hard labor. You see, the same thing applied to Timothy. Timothy, God gave you the grace, the gift. Because in Greek, gift means grace, charisma. Same thing. God gave Timothy the gift. Now, Timothy, you give God the heart labor. You stir that gift, Timothy. You stir it hard. Because all his life, Paul had been doing the same thing. Paul says, God gave me the charisma, the grace, the gift. I, in turn, gave God the hard labor. The grace and heart labor, they go together. God doesn't give you a grace gift so that you can sit around and not put it to use, not do nothing with it. Paul said, God gave me the charisma, that grace, and I gave it my all. I gave it more than Peter, than John, than James, than all the others. I labored harder than all of them. And Paul probably did that because he said earlier, because I persecuted the church, I felt it necessary. I was compelled to just give more than all the others. But you see that? God gives grace. You give the effort. You give it the all. A high intensity fire. Zealous for God. That's the whole point here. God gives you a gift and you give it your all. You take that gift and you absolutely maximize it. You give it to God 100% and watch God give you the power to make it effective for his glory. But you got to do your part. Paul says, the gift he gave me, the work I gave him back for his glory. For his glory. Here's the thing. Can you go back, please, to 2 Timothy? Verse 1, chapter 5, please. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice. You see, Louise and Eunice, the grandmother and mother of Timothy, all they could do was teach Timothy. They taught Timothy and they guided him toward his conversion. That's what they could do. Teach him the faith. Do what they could to lead him toward a new conversion. And then Paul comes along. And Paul, he befriends Timothy. He fathers Timothy as a spiritual father. He trains him. He teaches him. He writes him this particular letter to Timothy. He becomes his spiritual father, always training him, loving him, caring for him, praying for him. But he does all those things for Timothy. And then God comes along and God gives Timothy this gift. The gift that many people think, the gift of ordination, of pastoral work. But you see, Louise does her part. Eunice did her part. Paul did her part. God did his part. But now Timothy, you do your part. You, Timothy, you stir up the gift. Because Eunice can't do that for you. Louise can't do that for you. Paul can't do that for you. God will not do that for you. That job right there, Timothy, lies on you. You, Timothy, you stir the gift. You exercise it. You put it to full use. You put it to good use. No one else can do that except for Timothy. And the same thing applies to me and to you and to everyone in New Life Church. No one can stir up our gifts. If it's a gift given to me, then it's my responsibility to stir it up afresh every single day. If God gives you a gift, it's your responsibility to stir it up every single day. No one else can do that for you. Only you can do that for you. And we should know that going into 2024. If we have been given a gift, and every Christian has been given a gift, then it's our responsibility as possessors of that gift to stir it up. Kindle it afresh every single day. Poke it up. Fan the flame. Ignite it again and again and again. Every single day. We all have that responsibility. See, all Christians, every believer has been given a gift. Here's the point. There is no such thing as a giftless believer. What kind of believer are you? Yeah, I'm the believer that got no gifts. You mean God gave you no gift? Yeah, I'm the one that got no gifts. No. No such thing as a giftless believer. A believer walking around with no gifts, no talents from God. No. When you were born again, when you were regenerated, you received a gift. Do you know what the gift is? Maybe you don't. Maybe 2022 and 23 and going to 24, you're still not sure. The only way you'll find out is to get busy in the work of service and then find out as you're devoting yourself, dedicating yourself to God, what that gift is. But you'll never know if you just sit in the pews thinking, well, I don't really know what my gift is. I think I'll just sit around until I figure out what my gift is. No. Until you get up there and you start using it, then you'll find out, I think I found it. It might be my gift of encouragement. It may be a gift of prayer. It may be a gift of mercy. It may be a gift of loving others. It might be a gift of administration, of leading, of teaching, of preaching. You don't know until you actually get out there and start doing it. And others who are watching will tell you, will show you, you know what, you look really, really strong in doing this. I mean, I see a certain fire, a certain glow in you because you've been doing this. But the thing is, you have to get out and do it. There's no such thing, again, as a giftless believer. Yes, I'm the one without a gift. And there's no such thing as a believer who has just, let's say, the least significant gift. What kind of believer are you? I'm the one with no gift. How about you? Well, I'm the one who got the little gift that really has no significance. Really? You're the Christian with the insignificant gift from God. No. All the gifts of God are significant. And then there for a purpose. We may not have as many gifts as others, but every gift is necessary for the edification, for the building up of the church. You see, we must depend on one another. You have your gifts, I have my gifts, the pastor has her gifts, everyone has gifts, but these gifts need to be used throughout the church because we depend on one another. My gift may not be your gift, but I depend on your gift to help me in my ministry. And vice versa, you may depend on me to help you with your gift in your ministry, but we depend on one another. That's why God gives us all gifts. Different gifts, different talents for the building up, for the edification of his church. But everyone has a gift. So please don't walk around thinking, well, I have no gifts. No, you do have a gift. But it's your responsibility to find out that gift, to know that gift. Others will help you, but you need to try to seek it yourself. We need to try to seek it. So spiritually speaking, in what condition is the fire on the altar of your heart? You know, I was doing some reading, and I was looking at certain what people had written about fires. And they're saying that most fires, not all fires, but most fires, within that fire, the hottest part of the fire is the blue flame. You see the blue flames, you know, okay, that right there, that's just the hottest part of the fire. Got to be careful because that blue flame, it'll definitely burn you. And then as it goes down to the white flame and the yellow flame, the orange flame, the red flame. But every flame, this has a certain degree of temperature in it that just burns more hotter than all the other flames. But as you look at your own fire, the fire in the altar of your heart, you would say, how hot is it really burning? Is it that blue flame that burns to the highest degree? Or is it the white flame? Or is it the red or the orange or the yellow? What is it? Or is it really just a little ember glow, just a little glow where it's just about to go out? Because every Christian, if he's not on fire for God, zealous for God, well, you still have at least a little ember still blowing in you. And you may have neglected your gift. You may have neglected God and the things of God, but the ember is still there, just waiting for someone to fan it, to blow it, to get that fire stirred back up again. But we all have at least a little ember in there. But we don't want just a little ember glow, do we? No. We want the fan. We want those flames just burning. That's what Paul wanted of Timothy. Stir up that fire, Timothy. Kindle afresh the gift of God daily. Kindle it, Timothy. Kindle it. Poke it. Fan it. Stir it. Do something, Timothy. But don't just let it die out so that it becomes nothing but a little glow. No. So that's the instruction this morning. Perhaps you and I, going into 2024, we need to do that before we cross over. I mean, almost 13 hours from now, we'll be in 2024. We're getting ready to do that. We're getting ready to launch into the new year. How are we going to launch into it? With a little ember? I'm just going to launch into 2024 with a little ember, a little desire, a little zeal for God. That's all I need. That's all I want. Just a little glow. Or are you just going to be like Paul says, always be zealous for God. Remember, spiritual fervor, boiling hot. That's what it means in the Greek rendition, boiling hot spiritually. That's what Paul says. That's how we cross over, burning hot for God. Finish strong. I'm going to finish 2023 strong and launch into 2024, and then I'm going to be just as strong, ready to go in there and take on whatever God has in store for me in 2024, ready for the things of God, burning for God. The command. Can you go back, please, to verse 6, please? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God, which is... For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame. That right there, it's given in the present tense. What does that mean? It means do it all the time. It means I remind you to do this all the time, presently, constantly, not once in a while, not quarterly or semi-annually or annually. No. Every single day, Timothy, you would stir that gift of God that is in you. Every single day, kindle the inner fire in the inner man or the inner woman. Kindle that fire. Kindle it. So the idea is one of constancy. Constancy. Constantly. Can you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31? Here you find the idea of constancy. Paul says, I die every day. Constancy. Always. Paul says, I put the flesh to death every single day. Because that's what we need to do every single day. Remember earlier I said, don't spoil the flesh. Don't pamper the flesh. Don't cuddle it. Be like Paul. He understood the risk. He says, I die every day. I put to death the flesh. I make no provisions for the flesh. None. Zero. Zilch. I mean that, brothers, just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. Constantly. So when you go back and you read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, the same thing applies. It's this idea of constancy. Constancy. But Paul, he understood that to do this, he had to discipline his body. You have to discipline the body. Can you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27? Here's Paul again. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I beat my body. This is funny because when you go read the Greek rendition, it says this, I beat my body, I discipline the body. It means this, to beat it black and blue. In other words, when Paul says, I beat my body so violently so that it's black and blue with bruises. It's black and blue. Look at my body, Paul would say, it's all beat up. It's got these purple bruises where it became black and blue as I just battered my body because it's difficult. It's hard to kindle to kindle the gift of God every single day when the flesh is constantly getting in your way. Because the last thing the flesh wants is to do the things of God. You're either going to kindle the gift of God afresh or you're going to spoil the flesh. And the flesh will put out the fire in you because that's what the flesh does. You do one or the other. But Paul, he was being very serious when he said this. I'm going to beat my body. I'm going to beat it black and blue. And then when I beat it black and blue, I'm going to make it my slave. And it's going to do whatever I want it to do. That's what Paul meant. It was serious business to Paul. He understood the risk. That's what Paul said, all the things he did. From the moment Paul was converted, on his road to Damascus, when Christ appeared to him and he fell back, and he sees the risen Lord. From that day onward, you never see Paul. You never see Paul being slack in his devotion, in his duty, in his dedication. It seems like almost his whole life was just burning hot for God. What was it? Was it Paul? Or was it the grace of God? Well, it was both, wasn't it? It was the grace of God, and it was Paul's hard work. The two go together. The two go together. Who's going to smite the body? Because my wife's not going to smite my body black and blue. I mean, there's times when she probably does want to do that. But the point is, my wife's not going to do that for me. No one's going to do that to my flesh. It's something that I need to do. That's something that you need to do. Something as Christians that we all need to do. We need to deal with our own flesh. We must do that. Paul says, I beat it. We need to do the same thing. Timothy, young Timothy, and Timothy is probably in his late 30s, early 40s. And he's called timid for a reason because most people understood that he was somewhat of a timid man. So Paul had to encourage him not to give up, not to give up. So each day we batter the flesh, and then we turn and we kindle the gift of God. We kindle it afresh. Every single day, it's a battle. It is a battle every single day. Every day we war with the flesh. So think about that. Going to 2024, you'll fight. You must be fighting with the flesh. And every single day, you must be rekindling the gift of God at the same time. One or the other. One of them has to win. One of them has to lose. But the point is, like Paul says, every single day, spiritual fervor, burn hot for God, batter the flesh. Win. Win, Timothy. We must, we definitely need to do that. So that was the first point. The second point is this. The gift is placed in you. There's the gift that must be kindled. That was the first point. And then there's the locus, the location of the gift. The gift is placed in you. So immediately, can you go back, please? When Timothy? I remind you, fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you. It is in you. So we know this immediately. The gift has a supernatural origin. It is sacred and it is divine. It is holy. It comes from God Himself. It is a gift of God that He Himself places in you, in the inner man, in the inner woman. It comes from nowhere else. It's completely supernatural. You didn't earn it. You didn't merit it. You didn't deserve it. No, it's a God. It's a God-given gift, given to us by His favor. It's grace, nothing but grace. So we should understand where it comes from and where it went to. It came from God, and it went immediately into your inner man or your inner woman. That's where it is. That's where it resides. It's nowhere else but in you. The gift that God has placed in you. So you see, God's gifts, it wasn't meant to be ignored. It wasn't meant to be just laid aside. It wasn't meant to be buried. Remember the parable that Christ shared about the talents? Where the master had three servants. To one, he gave five talents. To another, he gave two talents. To another, he gave one talent. The first, he goes out and he makes a 100% increase. Five talents. When the master comes back, he says, I've made 10 talents. I put the gift to use. I have 10 talents for you. The second one says, me too. You gave me two. I have a 100% increase. I now have four talents, master. But the last servant, he was given the one talent. And out of fear, out of laziness, he did what? He went and he buried it. And he had no profit to show God, to show the master when the master came back. That is what we do when God gives us a gift, a talent, and he puts it in us. And we do nothing with it. We go out there and we just bury it. And when he gets back and he says, what did you do with my gift? Oh, nothing. It's right here, Lord. Here's the talent. Did you do anything with it? No, not a thing. Out of fear, I just decided, you know, maybe it's best we just keep quiet. Do nothing with it. See, that's what the flesh does, isn't it? It puts this spirit of fear in you. Because we learned in verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, about this idea of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Because fear makes us do that. You know what? I don't think I'm going to use this gift. I think I'm just going to hide it away because I don't want to do that. No. I think I just bury it. I'll bury it. That fear does not come from God. That fear comes from the flesh. It comes from the world. It comes from the devil. It is not of heaven. When God says, when Paul says, God has given you a gift and it is in you, that comes from God. It absolutely did. But this idea of fear, that is not from God. No. But fear, it makes us do that. I don't think I'll be using my gift. I'm just too afraid to use it. I'm too afraid to launch out and do this for the cause of Christ. No, I don't think so. No. So Timothy, again, known because he had a timid spirit. And Paul, therefore, exhorted Timothy. Timothy, I exhort you, exercise with more boldness all your virtues, all your talents, all your gifts. More boldness, Timothy. Be bold. And here's Paul. Paul's already been imprisoned a second time. Paul is about ready to just be snuffed out. He's about to get ready to die. This is his last letter. This is the last letter that Paul ever wrote. In here he tells Timothy, my time has come. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith, Timothy. I am out. But right here in prison, and the conditions for Paul were really, really bad. It wasn't like when we were talking about Philippi a few Sundays ago, and Philippi was under house arrest, where he was pretty comfortable. But this time, in this imprisonment, he's not under house arrest. He's in a cell. He's in a dungeon. Conditions are really, really bad for Paul. But Paul, still encouraging, still exhorting Timothy. Timothy, fight the good fight, Timothy. Fight on. Suffer with me. Be a good soldier. He's doing all these things, even though he's about getting ready to lose his life. And Paul knows it. And he's still exhorting young Timothy. Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear. And we should know that too. God has not given any of us here, not one of us, a spirit of fear. That is not from God. But we know this, that God has given us a spirit, the spirit of power. A spirit of power. God's power. Resurrection power. That is what God has given you. That what there is also charisma, a grace gift. God has given you his power, resurrection power, all power. But then Paul says, and he's given you what? A spirit of love, a spirit of power and of love. Because it's kind of dangerous to just have a whole bunch of power, isn't it? I have a whole bunch of power, but no love. But love, it kind of balances the power, doesn't it? Love gives you a love for the lost, a love for brothers and sisters, a love for Christ, a love for God, a love for the Holy Spirit, a love for the gospel, a love for the things of God, a loss for all those out there who are perishing. He gives you power, then he turns around and he balances the whole thing by giving you love, the spirit of love. And then he gives you another grace gift, self-control, self-discipline, that just balances everything so that you don't lose your composure. You don't get just as heated in emotion, in anger. No, he gives you everything you need. He gives you the power. He gives you the love. He gives you the self-discipline. He gives you all these things, Timothy, all these things to you and to me. Why? So we can go out there and boldly exercise our gift. That's what God gives us. No, God did not give anybody here fear, but he gives you everything you need, all his resources for you to be burning hot, to be burning red hot, flaming for God and for the things of God. Here Paul is, and he's encouraging Timothy. Timothy, this is everything you have, to go out there and defend the gospel and proclaim the gospel and not to be ashamed of the gospel. And don't be ashamed of me, Timothy, because by this point, everybody's abandoned Paul because he's getting ready to die. He's in a bad situation. No one wants to be around him. Paul understands he's by himself. But Paul understands, too, that God is with him, even there. So, Timothy, rekindle the gift. Rekindle that gift. So none of us are walking around in the church. We're believers. Not one of us is walking around without any gifts. Can you go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10? Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. Each one of us, from Paul's time, from Peter's time, all the way through the ages, all the way to this very present day, each one of us should be using whatever gifts God has given us. Going from 2023 into 2024, we should make every opportunity to use every gift that God has given us. Use it, Peter says. Use it. Exercise it. Strengthen it. Build it. Ignite it. Do whatever you can, but just go out there and use the gift of God. You have received it. Now go and serve others. Well, what allows me to serve others? Remember what Paul just says? God has given us a spirit of power and of love. It is that love. It is the power of love that allows me to go out there and serve others. Even those who, pardon me, maybe doesn't want to go out there and serve. But it's this love, the spirit of God's love, that compels me and moves me to just go out there and serve even unlovely people. Serve them. Why? Because God has poured into you the spirit of love. It's in your inner man, in your inner woman. Go. Peter says, go. Use your gift for the building up of the church. Use it. Can you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7? Again, Paul this time, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. To each one of us, grace has been given. Again, like I said earlier, there's no such thing as a giftless believer, a believer without any gifts. No, to every one of us, a gift has been given. And we have to go out there and use it. Romans 12, please, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Now, there's ample verses in the Bible that talk about the gifts you might have. But the only thing I wanted to bring out here was this idea. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. We have different gifts. Not all of us have the same gifts. We all have a gift, and they all could be different. But we all need to have different gifts. Because we all need, as I said earlier, to depend on one another. You need to depend on whatever gift I have. I need to depend on whatever gift you have. We need to depend on each other. We all need to work together to build each other up, to build each other, the bride of Christ, to edify one another, to bring others from outside the church into the church. We all need to cooperate with each other and understand what gifts we have and put those gifts to use. So our gifts, they're to be used boldly and powerfully. Boldly and powerfully. No point in having a gift if you're going to use it 25%. You know, I think I'll only give this gift 25%. No, no, no. Paul to Timothy. Timothy, maximize the full use of the gift. Remember what Paul says. God gave me the grace. I give him my hard labor. 100%. Be all in, Timothy. You and me, be all in. God gives you the gift, you be all in, and you maximize it to the fullest possible level. 100%. Use it. Strengthen it. Be bold. Be courageous. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 and 2. Here's an idea of what Paul is talking about. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instructions. Now that right there is 100%. Timothy, you go out there and you use your gift to the fullest, maximum possible level. Give yourself to it, Timothy, 100%. Go out there, Timothy, and preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Go out there, Timothy, and just get it done. Be ready always, Timothy, to just preach the word. Always. That right there is taking your gift and just maximizing it. Go out there, Timothy. Preach it every single day. Regardless of people mocking you because they think you may be timid because you're young in age and you're late 30s, maybe early 40s, whatever they say against you, Timothy, don't worry about that. You just take the gift that God has given you and you just use it boldly and courageously because God has given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Go out there, Timothy, and get it done. 2024, go out there, brothers and sisters in Christ, and just get it done. Find that gift of yours. Ignite that gift of yours. Fan the flame. Poke it. Stir it. Do whatever you can and go out there and just give it yourself. Advance the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. Teach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Do whatever you can for the cause of Christ. But use your gift. Use it completely. 100%. Be all in for Christ. That's what you should do in 2024. Just be all in for Christ. Whatever gift he gave me, I intend to just launch out with it and put it to full use. That's what I intend to do. And the last point that I'll make briefly, how to stir up the gift. Well, how are you going to stir up the gift? Yes, Paul kind of gave us some ideas. You poke it, you stir it, you fan it. Well, here's the whole point. First, by prayerful examination, examine yourself prayerfully. What do you think your gifts are? And here's a second point too. Consult others. You may have brothers and sisters in Christ who are mature and they can kind of see where you are in your growth. And they can kind of see that, yeah, you're doing this. This seems to be your gift. You seem to be, every time you do this, you tend to be kind of passionate about it. I see that this might be your gift. You see it in yourself. Others kind of see it in you. And you think, yeah, maybe this is my gift. But you got to do that prayerfully. Examine yourself. Have others examine you too. Have others help you. Because everyone has been entrusted with a gift from God. You are the steward of that gift. You are the manager, the owner, the user. You need to do something with it. And if you're unsure, again, ask others for help. Others will help you, will teach you. And once you find it, you stir it up. How? You develop it by using it. Use that gift in the church, within the body. Use it, strengthen it, exercise it, develop it, mature it. Do what you can to just maximize it for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Now, as closing now, I'll say this. See, Paul wrote this letter some 2,000 years ago. This is a pretty old letter, isn't it? 2,000 plus years, maybe. Paul penned this letter to Timothy. In it, Paul appeals to Timothy. He appeals to Timothy to kindle the fire, to kindle afresh the gift of God, 2,000 years have passed. The same thing now Paul would say to us. You, Christians in New Life Church, I remind you, the gift that God gave in you, that God gave you, kindle it afresh every single day. Ignite it, poke it, fan the flame, stir it, use it for the edifying of the church, for the building of the church, for the strengthening of the church. We need to do that going into 2024. Find your gift and use your gift to the fullest. 13 hours will be in 2024. It'll be time to do that. So because of this same reason, Peter said, Timothy, because of the faith that is in you, kindle afresh the gift of God that is in you. Same thing for us. Because of the faith that is in us, let us go into 2024 and kindle afresh the gift of God that is in us. Let's do that. Amen? Let me pray.